more customers for your business? Are you facing new competitors, not just across town, but across the country? How about across borders? How about worldwide? Welcome to Global Reach with your host, Tay Revez. As new technology makes it easier to connect with your customers, it also makes it easier for international competitors to reach them. Our program will help you stay competitive in a tough marketplace. Now, here's your host, Tay Revez.
Welcome back to Global Reach, the show that helps your business tap into international markets. I'm your host, Tay Revez, and my guests today are two visionary social entrepreneurs who are helping women in emerging markets create thriving businesses. And by doing that, they're expanding opportunities for all of us in the global marketplace. We're going to talk about the organizations that they lead, why their programs are so effective, and what it takes to be a successful social entrepreneur, with an emphasis on entrepreneur. It's going to be an exciting show packed with actionable information. My first guest is Ralph Schoenebach. He's the CEO of the Trestle Group and co-founder of the Trestle Group Foundation. The Trestle Group helps companies enhance their business performance. It uses robust methodology and a comprehensive set of transformation enablers. Plus experienced professionals, they help organizations overcome the challenges present in today's global economy. The group's founders have taken that expertise and they use it to help women entrepreneurs in emerging markets build successful businesses and to act as change agents in their societies. The foundation works with women in Central and Eastern Europe, Africa, and South Asia. Ralph is also a trustee and a graduate of my alma mater, Goucher College in Baltimore, Maryland. My second guest is microfinance pioneer Lynn Patterson. She is the co-founder of ProMujer for Women. In 1990, Lynn moved to Bolivia, where she met and partnered with Carmen Velasco to develop training programs for women receiving donated food. From this beginning, Lynn and Carmen built an organization which transformed women from recipients of charity to successful business owners who helped drive economic growth in their countries. ProMujer provides over 1.5 million poor women in Bolivia, Nicaragua, Peru, Mexico, and Argentina, and their families with financial services, business training, and health care. This year, they reached the $1 billion mark in microlending. I invited Lynn to be on this show partly because it's exciting and partly because I've admired ProMujer for over a decade and been a donor to this highly effective organization. So, Ralph and Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tay.
Thanks a lot, Tay. It's a pleasure to be on the program.
And thank you for calling in all the way from Switzerland and for coming down from the top of the mountain to be able to call in.
Well, I'm really happy to be there. There's plenty of snow around, so it's a pleasure. Thanks.
So both the Trestle Group Foundation and ProMujer are dedicated to creating sustainable economic opportunities for women. But your two organizations look to reach that goal through very different paths. When ProMujer provides financial services such as savings, microloans, and insurance, as well as business empowerment training and preventive health education to poor women who lack education and skills needed to qualify for employment or access credit in their normal economies. How did you come about this mission, and how did you develop this model to economic development?
Well, Tay, ProMujer is 22 years old. When Carmen and I began working in Bolivia, we were working with women receiving donated food, and their major desire was to earn income for their families so they could send their children to school and give them a better life than they themselves had had. And our training and credit program grew out of the women's request for help starting a business. They told us that there was no place that they could get a loan. Remember, this is 22 years ago, and their only option for employment was to create their own jobs in the informal sector, as they didn't have the skills, and there were not many jobs to be had in Bolivia, and there still are not many jobs to be had for unskilled labor in Latin America. So all of our programs were really born and developed in Bolivia for the very, very, very poor women. And that's how ProMujer started.
And You expanded then to 4 other countries.
Yes, we did. I should say that while financial services have been the backbone of Promo Hair since they allow us to scale and be sustainable, and these are services that are indispensable for empowering women. If you don't have income, you're very, very vulnerable. What has distinguished Promo Hair is our human and health development training. We are neither Carmen nor I are bankers or financiers. We are educators and teachers, and so our desire always was that the women had the opportunities to develop a sense of self-worth and were able to manage their homes and their families. So we began with human development programs and selected our methodology, which is group lending, because we saw it as the ideal vehicle for providing ongoing education and training to women.
Well, that's great. We'll get into some of the specific programs, the training and the healthcare, in the next segment.
I would be happy to. All of our services, the financial, the health, and the education, are they're all combined with the training elements. I want to say something about the group methodology, though, which is just key. By recruiting and organizing women in groups of 20 to 30, what we're doing is we're forming grassroots social support organizations whereby the women learn to develop leadership and group skills and have a safe, clean social space for working out problems together. And this gives them a sense of self-confidence and self-esteem, which is basic to changing the way they think about themselves and to breaking the culture of poverty.
Well, that is
in
really
that setting, in that group setting, and we have neighborhood centers all over our 5 countries. In that group setting, then when they come to borrow and repay their loans, we're providing education and business skill training and financial literacy. The business skill training includes helping them do a business plan, deciding how they're going to
invest their loan. Let's get into that in the next session. I want to just let Ralph tell us about the Trestle Group Foundation and how it's taking a very, very different approach. Ralph, you identify high-potential women-led businesses in emerging economies, and you provide women entrepreneurs with an established business professional as a mentor. Now, why did you pick that route to economic development and to empowering women?
Okay, that's quite a good question. We did quite a bit of research when we set up our foundation to ensure that we weren't duplicating efforts out there because there are quite a few foundations. What we found was that there's a lot of focus on microfinance. So, you know, all of the good work that Promo Hair does to help women get started. But what we found was that there was no support to help them get to the next level. So once they created a business and they wanted to grow, how do they grow further? And so we decided that we would provide them the human capital to grow and to overcome the challenges that really limit their success, which in many countries would then enable both social and economic change.
And do you have? Can you give me an example of somebody that you've worked with? How the program has actually worked in practice?
Yeah, sure. We worked with a woman in Bangladesh. She was an IT entrepreneur. She has an IT software company there. And when we first worked with her, she was not really experienced working abroad and very uncomfortable. And through the sponsorship of Microsoft, we were able to help her company obtain 2 of the larger contracts in Bangladesh from the government. She was also a keynote speaker at one of the Microsoft events where they had 10,000 participants there. And now she's a trade ambassador for the country. So she has really become a light or a mentor for many women around the country.
But both of you have, your organizations also look to see women as change agents. We've got a couple minutes before the break. So very briefly, how are you defining social progress and why specifically women? Ralph?
Well, I mean, for social progress, from our perspective, it's that the women are really the foundation of the community. They're holding the family together. They're the network enablers. And what we're trying to do is help empower them so that their voice is heard in these different communities.
And Lynn, what about you? How are you defining social progress, and how is FOMO hair looking at women as change agents?
Well, that's the mission of Promo Hair, is to empower a woman and give her the opportunities, the tools, and the resources that she needs so that she can change and improve her life at home, her life in the community, and her life in the workplace. And I think that's why we've recognized that it's not just simply income that's going to enable her to do that. The biggest emergency, the challenge that our clients face is health, is illness. They're very vulnerable because they do not access health care for the reasons that it's not convenient or it's not affordable. So one of Promo Hair's key components is to focus on how illness can be prevented, how they can maintain their health.
We've got to go to break now, so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that in probably in the third segment, but I have to go to break now. So audience, please don't go away. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the specific programs that Promo Hair and the Trestle Group Foundation operate and how these programs are expanding opportunities in the 18 emerging markets they serve around the globe.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel, or listen on demand to our archived shows.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Global Reach. I'm your host, Tay Revez. And in this segment, we want to look at some of the specific programs that Promo Hair and the Trestle Group Foundation have developed. What are these programs? Why did the organizations undertake those specific initiatives? What's worked, what hasn't, and why? And how do these initiatives have the potential to impact all of our businesses? Lynn, when we went to break, we were talking about your healthcare program that Promo Hair pioneered. Before we do that, just briefly, how does Promo Hair define social change?
Well, we define social change in three different areas for women. The economic development of women, that they're earning more income and that they're savings, and that they're keeping children in school. We look at empowerment in terms of women making their own decisions, women who have knowledge of their rights and who invest in their own education. And then finally, we look at the impact on health, and we're going to measure that in terms of the years of the improvement of accessing health services and taking advantage of health services for themselves and their families. So it's a it's in line with our integrated approach to women's development.
So ProMuHeR is pretty unique in that you're probably the only economic development program I know of that's pioneered this integrated health care and financial services approach. So go a little bit further. Why is health care so integral to your mission and to the economic advancement of your clients?
Well, you know, poverty is multidimensional. There is no quick fix for poverty. And when you're trying to break that cycle, I think it requires a multifaceted approach. We've always recognized that our clients are so vulnerable to illness, and we know now that that the increase of chronic diseases in Latin America is a ticking time bomb. And we see that our clients, because their lifestyles have changed, they're sitting, they're much more sedentary, they're eating a lot of junk food, that they're very much at risk for diabetes, for hypertension, and the related illnesses. So for us, we're really looking at it now at piloting a health business model whereby we provide the education and the early detection that will help women avoid these diseases by creating behavior change. That's, you know, good, healthy lifestyles, eating the right things, and getting lots of exercise.
So are you running clinics, or are you providing information at the community centers you talk about? How does
it
work?
Well, we do it in a variety of ways. Our urban and rural systems are a little bit different. In our urban areas, yes, we do have clinics. They're staffed by medical doctors and nurses. And we're providing screenings and diagnosis for all of our clients. In our group meetings, our loan officers deliver the health education lessons to all the women that make them aware of what they need to do to maintain their health.
Okay. Now, you both of you, the Trestle Group Foundation and ProMuHeR, training is central, coaching is central to your success. So, Wealth, can you tell me about the Trestle Foundation's coaching program? How does it really work when you pair a high-potential woman with an established executive? What do they do?
Yeah, I mean, what we do is our program is designed so that executives can maintain their corporate position, so they do not need to leave to go on a sabbatical, for example. So we have a coach from our foundation. The coach works with the executive from the corporate sponsor, like PepsiCo or UBS Credit Suisse, et cetera, and then the entrepreneur. And we first identify what are the challenges that that entrepreneur has. And based on those challenges, we build a team of people from our corporate sponsor that have the skills to help overcome those challenges.
How do they communicate?
They use emails, they use phone calls, and sometimes we organize a face-to-face visit both in the sponsoring country and in the country where the entrepreneur is based.
So you say we select. How do you select the women? How do you identify the high-potential women that you want to work with?
Yeah, I wish that select was more what it actually means in terms that there would be an abundance that you'd have to choose from. But the selection process is actually quite difficult to find the women entrepreneurs. So we use the different networks that we have, and we try to identify women entrepreneurs that we can support. But in many countries, like Russia, for example, we have a very difficult time finding women entrepreneurs that have been in business for 3 to 5 years that we could work with, as an example.
So how do you identify them? How do you, I mean, you're in Bangladesh, you're in Kenya, you're in Egypt. How do you identify the women-led businesses that you want to work with?
Yeah, we have a very global business ourselves, so we're working with mainly Fortune 1000 companies on the consulting side around the world. So we have those networks. We also use government networks, USAID, for example, or American Chamber of Commerce that are around the world, or even Goucher Network, for example, when possible, to reach out. I mean, it's not a very structured approach because there's not really a good network of women entrepreneurs around the world.
And how do you select the mentors?
The mentors are chosen by the company. These are normally the high potential women in the organization that are moving on to leadership positions that they want to have them benefit by getting exposed to different cultures, building teams, working together to think more entrepreneurially.
What kind of success rates have you achieved for the women entrepreneurs that you've mentored in the program?
Every program has been a success in the sense that the people that have participated have learned a lot. Unfortunately, not every women's business that we've worked with has survived, and I think that that's just the nature of being an entrepreneur. I mean, being an entrepreneur myself, I realize that it's not easy. So I think that we've had a few failures that we couldn't have prevented, but in terms of the overall learning experience, everyone has been very beneficial.
What's the biggest challenge that you faced?
Well, some of the challenges, I mean, executives have very demanding schedules, so trying to coordinate their schedules with the entrepreneur also has very demanding schedules. I mean, this is the fuel that, feeds their family, that keeps them alive. So trying to coordinate those schedules can be very difficult. And also, like I mentioned, I think the biggest challenge that our foundation has is really finding the women entrepreneurs to support in the different emerging markets. A lot of women in microfinance at that level, but if you go above that level, there's very few in many countries to identify.
You know, as Ralph speaks, I would love to be a feeder organization for your technical assistance and support. It would
be the words right out of my mouth, Lynn.
Yes, no, it would be wonderful because you're doing something that is so needed. And I don't know if you're going to ask me about a client, but I think we have clients who are getting ready for you, Ralph.
Well, why don't you give us an example of one right now?
I would love to. I'm going to talk about a client from Mexico, Luisa Daniels, who she's typical, but she's extremely has so much initiative. She's a 33-year-old woman who lives in one of the poorest areas of Mexico, Ixmiquilpan. It's just a poverty area. And she, when a friend of hers who belonged to PromoHair told her about PromoHair, and at that time she was extracting fiber from a maguey plant and giving this fiber to a company that was making products. And when she went to PromoHair, she got a loan of about $170 to start her own business. So she began to purchase the maguey fiber and produce a variety of things that she designed, earrings, bracelets, loafers for scrubbing. And she started to partner with her sister. But what's so unusual about Luisa is that the group skills that she learned from her group, she applied in her own community in Ixmiquilpan. She organized a group of over 30 women to join her in her little production business. And what they've done is really astounding. They're all working together. They have built a little workshop center in their town where they work. And she was cited last year. Banamex gave her an award. She took first place in the a prize for urban female micro businesses for young development enterprises, which, you know, that makes me think of you, Ralph. That she has proven herself a very strong, not just a micro entrepreneur, business leader, but actually she's broken stereotypes of what women should be doing in her community, and she has organized and recruited other women in the community who are now a part of this workshop.
A true job creator.
Yes.
Lynn, can you tell me very briefly, what are the skills that you teach when you're training women on business and empowerment?
Yes, I can. We say we give them an MBA in business. We have two sets of courses, one business course and one financial literacy. In the business course, we have them do business planning and organizing my business, even though they're doing income generation activities. They have not necessarily thought through their costs, their prices, their income and their profit. So they need to think more like businesswomen. They have to figure out, are they pricing their products appropriately? They learn negotiation skills. How do they negotiate with people from whom they're buying their inventory? How are they treating their customers? So we focus on customer service. We talk about the quality of the service and the quality of the products. And then we help them develop marketing and advertising skills. These are obviously very basic, but they certainly enhance their businesses. And we help them think about how they can become more competitive and how they can improve, let's say, manage their inventory. A lot of times they diversify and start different businesses, taking advantage of seasonal opportunities. So those are some of the very generic skills that apply to women who are just developing, initiating, or improving these micro-businesses.
Now, these are women living in fairly macho cultures. Do you also train them how to deal with men so that they, assertiveness training?
Well, we have something called empowerment courses that the whole being a member of a promo hair group, I have to say, is an empowering process. And we help them develop self-awareness. We help them break the cycles of violence. So many of our clients are subject to domestic violence, and because this is just normal, right? It's just normal. The more he loves me, the more he beats me is what you hear. We help them recognize different kinds of violence. It's not just physical. There can be verbal violence or psychological violence. We try to help them develop better communication skills so they could negotiate with their partner.
Great. We're going to follow up a little on that, but we need to go to break now. I hope everybody's going to stay tuned, so we'll hear more about empowerment training and find out what happens if these investments, the micro-lending investments, are hit by a natural disaster such as a flood or a hurricane. So stay tuned, and then the other part of the next segment, we're going to find out what it takes to become a successful social entrepreneur. This is your host, Tay Revez.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Global Reach. This is your host, Tay Revez, and in this segment, we're going to find out what happens when a natural disaster wipes away all the hard work that one of Promujer's clients has done in building her business. Then we're going to look at a very unique partnership program that the Trestle Group Foundation has created with leading organizations and some of the world's largest companies. And finally, we're going to see what it takes to become a successful social entrepreneur. So, Lynn, you were we were just as we went to break talking about what happens when there's a hurricane or a flood and the business is washed away.
Well, of a good example, in 1998, 2 years after we began operations in Nicaragua, the little country was hit by Hurricane Mitch, 180-mile winds that had a cumulative effect of over $1 billion damage on the country. And our clients were right in the path of a mudslide of the hurricane, of a mudslide from the Casita volcano. Many of our clients lived right in the center of all of this destruction. And I remember visiting a Doña Esteban. She had been able to survive with her children by putting the kids up on the rafters under the thatched roof. When I saw her, the roof was on the ground, and she was cooking a pot of beans over a little stone fire for their dinner. Everything had been wiped out, and
what
she
had her
was
business been?
Just pardon me.
What was her business?
Her business was selling. She was a very typical. She was a vendor who walked through the street. She didn't even have a place to sit. She had a basket and she had candies and chiclets on her head. And so her inventory was wiped out and she was just glad to be alive.
So how did you help her get back to business?
Yes, to get back to business. So we reminded her and the other clients that they had savings that they could draw on. They, were able to repay their loans and then get more loans to restore their inventories. And Doña Esteban, did get back to business. She was able to continue selling, and eventually she restored her home and her livelihood. But this, a lot of this enabling came by the fact that she had group support, she had staff support, and she had. This is the savings component is so important. She was able to apply her savings to repaying her loan.
It's good to know that all those efforts don't get destroyed, because I've often wondered that. I was at an event that Promujer had just after that hurricane, and I've wondered ever since what happened to your clients.
They regrouped. You know, it was actually it was a wonderful experience for all of us to see how effective that social support system was. I think that at the time the Nicaraguan government was diverting the aid. They weren't even letting it get to the clients. We also distributed food packages. So just the fact that there was this this organization and the social support system, and the women were engaged and had savings made all of the difference.
All of the difference in the world. That is really an incredible program. Ralph, let's turn now to the Trestle Group Foundation's partnership program. I think that's the model that you really use, is to bring in all of these major organizations. Can you tell me how that's worked, how you developed it, who's involved, who participates?
Yeah, the main idea was that we really wanted executives to be able to contribute time without having to leave their day job. And so we have created a very efficient program where people can contribute 1 to 2 hours a week and really make a big difference in the women entrepreneurs we're working with around the world. Most recent sponsors that we've been working with include PepsiCo, UBS, Credit Suisse, Googling, where we've been working in quite a few different countries. A recent program was in Egypt, which has been going on for about the past 7 months, it's a very challenging time there. And for a woman entrepreneur, it's even more difficult. It's been very interesting.
So give me an example of what you're doing in Egypt. Who have you engaged with in the last 7 months in Egypt? And how are you capitalizing on this wonderful Arab Spring?
Well, wonderful and challenging.
And challenging.
We've been working with UBS as a sponsor in and also A-Connect in Egypt, working with a social entrepreneur who is a reseller of products from families, from women, helping her to build her e-commerce platform, build awareness. But during the program, she unfortunately lost her shop. She also lost her father, which was no coincidence of the uprising. It's just a very challenging time, and we've been able to help build very good networks for her, build awareness for her. She came to Switzerland. She was profiled there, and we continue to work with her and support her.
Has she been able to rebuild her shop?
Well, she's working on it. It's not easy because the shop prices that she had was tripled overnight, and she just wasn't able to sustain that, so we're working for alternatives for her.
Do you help her get financing, or how does that work?
Yeah, our foundation does not provide financing, but we help prepare all of the, let's say, if the entrepreneur needs a business case or needs access to networks that provide financing, we would provide that.
Okay. Let me ask you something. Corporate social responsibility, because a lot of your partners are big corporations, it's both been widely heralded and it's also been widely criticized. How much of a role does it really play in changing societies? Or is it, as many critics say, it's just a program to burnish up tarnished corporate images?
Well, I mean, the reason that we wanted to set up a foundation was that we wanted to really see a difference tomorrow. And I think that corporate social responsibility, there's two positions. One is a check the box, so you fulfill criteria to make the company look good, and then there are other corporations or individuals within corporations that actually really want to make a difference, and those are the people that we're working with today to support women entrepreneurs.
Who is, you mentioned a couple of Microsoft and IBM. Who else do you see as playing a really major role here?
Well, that's there's a, I mean, I think that the majority of corporations around the world are contributing to different programs in different ways. So they might not be supporting women entrepreneurs, but maybe they're supporting microfinance, or maybe they're supporting children or different initiatives. That's one thing that we've seen in our journey, is that there's just a tremendous amount of support out there available from corporations if people know where to look.
Ralph and Lynn, each of you are really successful social entrepreneurs. When I was last at a Columbia School of International and Public Affairs event, the students mm-hmm. there were all really interested in figuring out how they could become social entrepreneurs. So mm-hmm. tell me, what does it take to become a really great social entrepreneur? Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me, it was very important to get a corporate experience. And coming out of Goucher, which was a very liberal arts education, this was quite challenging to even get into a corporation. But having that perspective was very useful, because corporations have a lot of valuable assets that you can use to help enable a lot of social enterprises or initiatives. So that to me was very important. So I would always advise people to look towards, you know, corporate positions or engage in bigger initiatives before venturing out on their own, because it's just a lot that you can learn from other people.
Lynn, what about you? What does it take to be a great social entrepreneur, an effective social entrepreneur?
Well, you know, I'm going to say something based on my own experience. It takes an enormous amount of perseverance and desire to accomplish something. I think that it takes a teamwork, because to be successful, you need to be able to inspire other people, and the idea that you're working for has to be a very powerful one, and it has to be, something that is, I would say, is very sustain. It can be sustainable, it can be scalable, and it can have impact. So I think you need a very, very good idea to start with, that that you need to be sure that it is actually meeting a social need, and that it is a business, that these are services or in products that that people are going to want and need and purchase.
Ralph, do you have anything to add before we go to break?
Hey, today I think that we have see a lot of social entrepreneurs in business schools who are getting wonderful educations in terms of business backgrounds, and they're starting. They're starting with a very good skill set.
Ralph, in about 15 seconds before we go to break, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think to add to that, I mean, I think every day you have to wake up and look in the mirror and just tell yourself that you're not going to fail today. And it's really day to day, and that's how we survived.
That is really an interesting approach. And it certainly is an enormous challenge to become an effective social entrepreneur. So we're going to go to break now. When we come back, we're going to look at how listeners can get involved with ProMujer or the Trestle Group Foundation, what you guys have learned from each other, whether you've picked up anything that you can use in your own organization. And then I've reached out to past guests, my research partners, producer, and ask them for predictions for 2012 and their New Year's resolutions, and I'm hoping to get yours too. So please stay tuned for the last final segment of Global Reach, and we're looking forward to having you all come back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Need to hold focus groups in 7 countries or interview doctors in 57? Global Reach can get it done. Trying to expand into new markets, Global Reach will help you assess the opportunities, scope out the competition, and understand the risks. We are a strategic business intelligence firm with a network spanning over 60 countries. We can support your clinical trial recruitment campaign or identify the best practices to use when global branding. Founder and former editor of Business International, Tay Revez, brings 30 years of experience in helping companies from financial service to high tech to healthcare. She was cited by Super Searchers as one of the top 12 primary researchers within the U.S. Tay excels at in-depth interviews, custom multi-country studies, and out-of-the-box challenges. She's also been a featured speaker on subjects as diverse as baby boomers and co-branded credit cards. Let us help you with your next project. We'll work closely with you to define your needs and determine actionable solutions. Please contact us at globalreach-sbi.com or call 212-877-8616.
We've just come off of the Great Recession, but we're not out of the woods yet. What will our world be like when we get back on course? Will the course even be the same as it was? For the answers you need to weathering this recovery, tune in every weekend to Going for Broke, How the New Normal Can Work for You, with your host, Eric Hovey. We'll clue you into businesses, individuals, and communities that are already making a difference and show you how you can do the same. Going for Broke airs live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern Time on Voice America Business.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are tuned in to Global Reach with Tay Revez. If you have a question or comment about our program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you can send an email to trr@globalreach-sbi.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. Now I'm going to ask our guests if in one sentence they can tell us the most important thing you have to do to become a social entrepreneur. Ralph, what's the one most important thing somebody has to do?
Well, I think that to become a social entrepreneur, the first thing is like what was mentioned earlier, to have a good idea. And there's a lot of wonderful initiatives out there. So I think to do your homework first, do a bit of research and see what's already out there, and then really jump into it and use networks. I mean, networks are extremely important when developing a social enterprise.
And Lynn, from you? What's
well,
the one
I'd like, I'll build on that because okay. The good idea is absolutely essential. And then, and I would say, you have to be total, so engaged and totally committed that no matter how difficult or whatever problems come up, you don't even imagine quitting. You have to be wedded to this idea. And I would say, and willing to learn. Be analytical and critical and willing to learn from everyone and everything that happens to you. And if you are open to learning and, you know, passionate about your idea, I think you have a good chance of making it happen.
So Lynn, how can our listeners get involved with ProMujer?
Oh, what a wonderful question. You know, right now, we need we're enlightened philanthropists. We need innovative partners and funding from people like who are listening to this show right now, and to want to get involved with ProMujer. We have developed a marvelous vehicle called the Velasco Patterson Society, and we have a junior committee, which offers opportunities for socially minded young professionals that support our mission. And that are willing want to learn more about development and want to have an impact on making the world a better place. So we're designing events and activities and ways to engage them, to provide learning ways that they can learn and then contribute their skills and obviously their resources to the organization.
And they can find that at www.promujer.org.
ProMujer.org.
Great. Ralph, what about you? How can our listeners get involved with the Trestle Group Foundation?
Yeah, there's quite a few different ways. I mean, in terms of human capital and financial and involving corporations. And I think that if a person is really interested to learn more, then I would just encourage them to contact me directly. And that can be done just through our website, which is www.trestlegroupfoundation.org.
That's great. So, we're almost at 2012. What's your New Year's resolution, Ralph?
Well, of course, you have these corporate ones, which you need to have to attract funding. So you would like to set some big goals that attract big numbers. But personally, I think I would really like to just see that a number of the women entrepreneurs that we support really become role models within their countries and are able to support other women entrepreneurs in the markets where they're involved.
And Lynn, what's your New Year's resolution for ProMujer?
Well, my resolution for ProMujer is that it continues its wonderful mission and work and culture and continues to focus on clients, providing better products and services and based on respect for clients and a growing, more informed awareness of what those clients need.
That is great, and I hope both of your resolutions come true.
Thank
and now, as
you.
I mentioned before the break, I've reached out to some of my research partners, past guests on the show, and my producer, and asked them for their predictions and for their New Year's resolutions. So the first come from Roy Stevenson, who is a guest on our payments industry show and is a guru in the industry. He is saying, watch for continuing efforts by regulators to make the banking system safer. And those will be matched by continuing efforts by bankers not to change a thing. His resolution for 2012? To do more assignments that I enjoy and fewer just to pay the bills. My research partner, Tasha Shibalaya, who's the author of Elephant Rising, sent me a slew of predictions. Expect a backdoor entente cordiale between the British pound and the U.S. dollar. This is what is underlying this? The global financial great game of the dollar versus the euro. He predicts there'll be a cascade of sectoral slowdowns in China's domestic market. With a couple, there'll be a key export market implosion. And in consequence, the Chinese government will use its war chest of foreign exchange reserves to aggressively acquire state assets in Europe. They're going to be buying military and aerospace technology. India will see a succession of political crises, but its inner economic fundamentals will continue to be strong, and it's going to gain at the expense of China. Already, their domestic consumption as a percentage of GDP is twice that of China. Watch for German engineering and high-tech exports to rise to India. 2012 will see the growth of political frictions between India and China in Southeast Asia and Africa. And Tasha's final and most radical forecast, we will see a return to a creeping gold standard, the only way that the International Monetary Fund can be reinvented to accommodate new global realities. My Asian research partners are all predicting a much tougher 2012 ahead, not what I wanted to hear. But from Singapore, Pete Reed, Global Intelligence Associates, has forecast, my prediction for 2012 is that Asia-Pacific markets will be surprised by how badly they're affected by adverse economic conditions in the West. Asia currently feels itself to be riding high and largely escaping the gloom and doom in the West, except for Japan, of course. But many countries are heavily linked to global dynamics, and that despite the fact that China's slow-growing domestic demand is gradually replacing Europe and the U.S. as the major economic driver for the region. Also from Singapore, Gary Lim writes, the world's economy next year will be gloomy due to the debt crisis in major regions and political paralysis in the U.S. Jeff Minter, managing director of Australia's Minter Group and next week's guest, writes, in Australia, we're in a region where slow growth will still be envied by other regions. Be flexible and prepared to take economic opportunities. Tougher times require tough analysis. Finally, for my Voice America producer, Tracy Trump, my resolution is to continue to be surrounded and to connect with more great minds and to help them share their knowledge globally. As I mentioned, Jeff is going to be my guest next week. He'll tell us why the Australian market is much more than just another shrimp on the Barbie. Then he'll talk about how to build your business and brands in the growing markets in Asia and use specific case studies to describe successful strategies. Future episodes will look at the global business and global politics of water, whether unlimited political spending in the U.S. is good or bad for companies, whether they're U.S.-based or foreign firms doing business in the U.S., and my partner, Tasha Shibalaya, the author of Elephant Rising, will tell us how to compete in Chindia, that huge China-India economic space. So tune in January 5th to find out what we're going to do about another shrimp on the Barbie and to listen to Global Reach. Lynn and Ralph, I really want to thank you, and please come again to the show. I would like to hear you bring back some of the entrepreneurs that you're dealing with, Ralph. I think it would make a great show. This is your host, Tay Revez. I wish you a joyous new year and a prosperous 2012. And my resolution is to get out there and give you the best shows I possibly can.
Thanks, Tay.
Thank you, Tay.
Thank you for listening to Global Reach with Tay Revez. Please join us again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.